the way I always do. How was I to know she was with the Russians too?
Yeah! The great Warren Zevon, Lawyers, Guns, and Money. And that, by the way, when you take the elevator up to Mike Monaco's office downtown, that's the elevator music playing right there.
Yeah, exactly.
Some Lawyers, Guns, and Money.
Yeah.
Very important times like these.
Big day for the president.
Yeah. Let's start with that. I want to play something for you. This is the president right after Michael Cohen pleads guilty in the courthouse in Lower Manhattan. And this is a referral from the Southern District of New York back to Robert Mueller. This all started Robert Mueller referring Michael Cohen over to the Southern District of New York. And then the Southern District of New York sent it right back. They papered up this case about the Trump Tower Moscow. And Robert Mueller is the guy that took this guilty plea, right? He signed this. What do you call this? This information? What do you call this,
right.
Document?
An information.
Thank you very much. Now, so then the president goes out to the helipad. This is his new favorite thing to do, because he can always say he can't hear it because of the helicopter. This is the
And he did say that.
Reagan perfected this, right? I mean, he was really good at this. But this, but at least Reagan, I look at Ronald Reagan and I think to myself, at least there's a guy who...
He was truthful.
Yes, who cared about the integrity of the presidency.
That's the difference.
And he wasn't just doing this, you know, so he could be, you know, to line his own pockets, which is, I'm getting a suspicious feeling that that's what's going on here. Because he, as the president was kind of walking up and down the rope line with all the reporters... And would point at them and then take their question. And then a couple of them did it in broken English. So he goes, I didn't understand you. And then would turn around and walk away from them. But he then curiously said this.
I don't know when I decided, but somewhere during the period of time, I was never very enthused. Somewhere during the period, because I was running for president. My focus was running for president. But when I run for president, that doesn't mean I'm not allowed to do business. I was doing a lot of different things when I was running.
Okay. I don't think you can do that.
That's the opposite of that is true.
Right.
Yeah. You're not supposed to be engaged in private enterprises.
And it's not like it was word salad, of course, because we play the beginning of that, because I don't know what he's talking about in the beginning of the answer, but he gets to the point of, I was trying to run my business. I mean, the whole point here is that he lied, that Michael Cohen lied, this is what he's pleading guilty to Congress, when he said that the Trump Tower Moscow deal was dead before the Iowa primary in January of 2016.
Right. He told both the Senate and the House that.
Right. And that's the problem, is that is not true, because he was still working on that deal on behalf of the Trump Organization until at least middle June 2016.
And spoke to the president three times about it.
Right. Now, here's the problem is that the president today didn't just leave it at that in a word sale, and you go, well, maybe it is. He said this.
Now, here's the thing. Even if he was right, it doesn't matter, because I was allowed to do whatever I wanted during the campaign. I was running my business, a lot of different things during the campaign.
What do you think about that, Mike?
Mike? If you're a client,
you could see why his prior counsel did not want him to answer questions live, because he just does not.
He's not. Lester Holted himself, didn't he?
Right. He Lester Holted himself.
That'll become potentially back to be used by the investigators. But ABC News is reporting that on that list of questions for President Trump from Bob Mueller's office that he was answering in written format, that they did ask multiple questions about the Trump Moscow project. So it does seem to be central to at least some of what they want to find out more about.
And you could see, I mean, it's clear that the special counsel is pushing this right down the road. The fact that this is so close,
kind of new for us too.
It's new. It's brand new, and it's amazing what's happening.
Can you explain why a guy running for office, not elected, never been elected in anything before? I think that's what he's thinking.
Yeah.
Why, when he's running for dog catcher or president, he can? Well, let's get federal dog catcher or president. Right. Federal.
Keep it at president.
Yeah, sure. President. Why he can't just keep doing business as usual?
Yeah, there are a couple of different reasons. One is that he has the obligation to be truthful. He, you know, he has the obligation to be dealing with the, and not because at the beginning of it, he, as you, as everyone else who ever ran, they said, well, I'm going to put everything in a blind trust.
Right.
You know, I'm going to put everything with my daughters, my sons will control it. Now, I have nothing to do with it.
Right.
Okay. And why is that? Because the theory is, as president, you don't want to be influenced adversely. You don't
correct.
Want to be influenced
as president. But while you're running,
and
there is a specific
thing.
Law
it's
here,
It's the
though,
same thing.
But there's also the specific law of taking anything of value
emoluments.
From a foreign government
right. emoluments.
While you are running. Those laws apply to candidates for president.
Which they should.
Because it would be like, because then you're being this, and that is from the founding fathers.
You're on the brink of becoming the president.
Right, because the founding fathers didn't want the British crown, and that's a wonderful television series. They did not want the British crown to influence using gold.
Hello,
sovereigns, to try to influence politicians here in the United States.
That's exactly right.
And so that has been on the books since the 1770s.
No, he's new. He's a new politician. He's a new politician. Doesn't
1780s, I should
doesn't
say.
Read, doesn't know those things.
Yeah, okay.
So if Michael Cohen lied about that in a statement to Congress, and that's what he admitted to lying to now, is Bob Mueller's team trying to create a perjury trap for the president because he might have corroborating evidence that others also knew things were going on with the Trump Tower Moscow situation, and then it is the president who is lying about it? Or what would be the nature of trying to land this kind of, to get him to plead guilty to lying to Congress about this when Cohen's already cooperating and is part of, you know, working with the special counsel?
Yeah, I don't like the term perjury trap. I mean, it makes it sound like that you're making someone lie. You know, this is very quick after the
answers were submitted.
So that I can see why you're suggesting that. But it's clear
that...
But
we just heard everyone... The reason I'm using it is that everyone talked about, you know, be careful with those answers to the question because that's what...
He has to be careful with everything.
He has to tell the
truth.
And
the trouble is he's never truthful. He cannot answer a question truthfully, it seems. Now, I'm impressed that he's able to keep it going. I mean, he just will say anything. And, it's impressive sometimes.
But what would the special counsel get out of Michael Cohen when he's already helping, coming forward to do this, to say I lied to Congress?
This is another example of how the president was dealing with Russia long after he said he wasn't, and in a much more direct way.
Right. That would have enriched him.
That would have enriched him. Absolutely
right.
Enriched him.
Because actually these deals that he was doing at this time would have paid him $4.5 million with no money down. He could have got just $4.5 million and walked away.
Yeah.
Because and they would build a Trump Tower and they would just have an Ivanka spa. Right, that's what they were going to build, and then everybody gets paid basically a licensing fee,
right.
For that. And these are
not unlike the Trump Tower here. I think they have a similar deal.
More specifically, like the Trump Soho in New York, where Felix Sater, who is one of the guys who is now in the middle of all of this, was the guy who was really building that thing, and they were contracting with Trump's for the name and for some of the stylistics and things that they were doing inside the tower and some of the amenities. And that's where the Ivanka Trump ran into a problem, because Ivanka Trump was making assertions as to the number of condos that had been sold out in that, saying that they were over 70% sold when they were at 17% sold. And
typo.
And no, a clear misspeak. And there was a move to indict her in New York on that, and that would have been a municipal.
Yeah, state.
A state, I'm sorry, right. State would have been a state charge, but the guy, the district attorney, Cyrus Vance Jr.,
right,
who was a contributor to the Trumps over the years, and friends with them, did not indict her. And that in New York has created a big problem, because that's the kind of thing that, you know, one would, and this is before he was running for president. That was the kind of thing that you think, well, you know, you can't, if you're saying to investors, hey, listen, these things are almost sold out.
That's a huge
problem.
That's
fraud, right?
It's close.
I mean, I got to tell you something. My moisturizer is more moisturizing than any other moisturizer. That's also fraud.
The beauty industry, though.
Now, here's the thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I think, an important one of the charges in the information today. The Moscow Project was discussed multiple times within the company, and that did not end in January 2016, as asserted by Michael Cohen to Congress.
Right.
Instead, as late as approximately June of 2016, Cohen and Felix Sater discussed efforts to obtain Russian governmental approval for the project. Cohen discussed the status and progress of the Moscow Project with the president on more than three occasions.
Right.
Cohen claimed to the committee and briefly family members of the president within the company about the project.
Right. So it's,
I mean, this is that's
there's more, there's going to be more than this. This is it, like sort of the tip of the iceberg.
Can I ask you about Ed Burke on the other side?
Okay. I don't know anything about it, but
I know
I'll
you don't
happy,
know anything. I'm just asking
about
the idea of what, just I want to take through the process of what
happy,
today is like in a situation like you have there. Okay, because Ed Burke's offices got raided by the federal government today, and one must wonder what that is all about, because he's a big-time player here.
Absolutely.
And my phone's ringing, and God knows who this is. All right, can we just now check in? Tell him I'm not here! Kim, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
President Trump's former lawyer making a surprise appearance in a New York courtroom today.
Coming up, the stories that matter. Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. But Mike Monaco right now is with us, and our legal analyst. And we were just talking about the president and Michael Cohen and what's going on there. More of that to come a little bit later on the program. But Ed Burke's political offices today, his office at City Hall and his ward office, both...
Yeah, that was a surprise.
Raided by the federal government. And they put up brown wrapping paper on the window so nobody could see what they were doing. I've never seen that
before.
They
did a nice job, too. Did you see how seamlessly they applied it to all the offices of City Hall and his ward offices? So.
Yeah. Frank came over and decorated it.
Nicely done.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Although there was one little area there in the middle some cameras were able to spy like an FBI guy at the desk.
What do we make of this?
Well, it's a big deal, obviously, and that... the federal government apparently felt that it was necessary for them to execute a search warrant rather than just to send subpoenas for information, for all the documents or all the computers or whatever they wanted. This way they are, it's a much more intrusive way of getting everything, obviously, and they bust into his offices and his ward offices in downtown, and I have no idea what they're looking for, but you know, search warrants have to have particularity. They have to describe with particularity where they're going to search and what they're looking for. Now, that's what the law says.
Mm-hmm.
In reality, it's not unusual that they take everything they can, all the documents.
Everything they can find. All right, very quickly, let me just ask you this question. When the federal law enforcement cars surrounded City Hall today, how many phone calls did you get from people going, hey, can I come over to your office right now?
Yeah.
Not that. All right.
You're very funny.
Yes. You should call. Listen, if you're a politician, you should call Mike Monaco,
mm-hmm.
Monaco at Law. No case too big or too small, but especially in this particular environment. Mike, thank you very much. Appreciate
Thanks,
your
Mike.
Time.
My pleasure.
We've got the news in two.
Here's the story. Go back and look at the paper that Michael Cohen wrote before he testified in the House and or Senate. It talked about his position, what he's trying to do, because he's a weak person and not a very smart person. What he's trying to do is end, and it's very simple. He's got himself a big prison sentence, and he's trying to get a much lesser prison sentence by making up a story.
It's the Roe Concho with Anna DeBlantis right there. There is the Commander-in-Chief standing next to Marine One.
How do you know?
Renato Mariotti is with us, former federal prosecutor. He's now a partner at Thompson Coburn here in Chicago. We see him on the CNN. He's the host of On Topic, the podcast. Hashtag On Topic. All right. I want to play something for you, and I want you to explain, as a former federal prosecutor, why what the president is asserting here is incorrect.
I don't know when I decided, but somewhere during the period of time, I was never very enthused. Somewhere during the period, because I was running for president. My focus was running for president. But when I run for president, that doesn't mean I'm not allowed to do business. I was doing a lot of different things when I was running.
That's the question.
Yeah.
We need some clarity there, Renato.
What's wrong with it? Well, it's hard to follow, right? That's the first thing. It's hard to understand what he's trying to say, but it seems to me like he has trouble pinning down what the date was, but while he was running for president, he was at some point engaging in a business deal in Russia that was involving him having substantial interest there. So I guess the first question is, in and of itself, is that a legal problem for him? And the answer is, probably not. It's probably a problem, you know, it may be a problem for our democracy, or maybe an issue that, you know, that this wasn't revealed to the public and they have a right to know. But I don't think in and of itself the fact that he had foreign business interests is an issue. The problem might be for him that, you know, first of all, he submitted written answers to Mueller recently. Mm-hmm. Were those accurate? If he willfully, knowingly, and willfully lied there, then that's a crime. Similarly, if he was involved in covering this up to Congress, because we know Michael Cohen lied to Congress and pled guilty to that today regarding that deal, then that would be a problem. And then there's various other crimes that could be surrounding that.
And let's go to one of those, which is, and you're the former federal prosecutor, and mm-hmm. I've just watched television, so you're allowed to explain this to me. But it seems that I have heard other lawyers argue that if he were to receive something of value from a foreign government, mm-hmm. and therefore building a tower in Moscow would be something of value, getting the rights to do that, or getting $4.5 million from a Russian oligarch to build a tower. And one could imagine that's from the Russian government. You could tie that. That you can't do, you can't accept that while you're running for president. It's a thing of consideration.
Right. So that issue is whether or not there's an unlawful campaign contribution. So, for example, if a foreign government did something that moved the campaign forward in any way, whether it's money, you know, they're letting the campaign staff stay in a condo, whatever it might be,
right,
that moves the campaign forward, then that can be a crime. It's certainly unlawful on the civil side. Here, what I assume is going on is that this is a personal business deal that really never touched the campaign. Now, you could try to make the argument that by enriching Trump personally, that you're effectively allowing him to pour money into his campaign, but that strikes me as further afield. There is an issue that another problem would be if you accept the thing of value in exchange for an official act. That's what Governor Blagojevich did years ago, where you're saying, okay, I want to, sell the Senate seat for something or whatever. Right.
But he wasn't in a position to do that because he was just a candidate, not mm-hmm. the president.
Right. It would be a problem if he said, look, I'll change the platform at the Republican convention in exchange for Trump Tower Moscow.
But is that actually a crime?
You know, it's an interesting, what I would call it is, that's an interesting legal question as to whether or not he's not yet there. What if he said, you know, you could imagine a hypothetical case in which somebody said, when I become president, I agree to do X, Y, Z. I mean, what if somebody said they're running for mayor now? When I am mayor, in exchange for $50,000 campaign contribution now, I will zone your building a certain way. It would be very interesting. I don't know off the top of my head whether that's a crime. It's something that I've considered a lot. When people ask me questions, it would take a lot of legal research. I don't know if it's happened before.
If you made that deal with Putin, you would think that Congress would look at that as part of any impeachment potentially, if it makes it to the Bob Mueller report. But we're not there.
Exactly. And just because it's all hypothetical. We're right. asking legal questions.
But something that's not, the Wall Street Journal is reporting right now that there is some the investigators have emails from the kids, Don Jr. and Ivanka, going back and forth about the Trump Moscow project, and that in some way that this might increase their legal exposure for his immediate family. Do you see what legal issues there would be there? Weren't they allowed to go ahead and continue with the Trump business operations?
They were, and you're absolutely right that a couple of them, in fact, I think Donald Trump Jr. and Eric Trump are in charge of, and they're the two people who are in charge of that business right now. First of all, I would say today's news of Michael Cohen pleading guilty to lying to Congress really ups the danger zone for Donald Trump Jr. Because if you told me tomorrow there's going to be an indictment of Donald Trump Jr. and what is the charge going to be, can you guess? I would guess lying to Congress.
I believe that Robert Mueller is setting up for us the Robert Mueller Advent calendar. Every day we are going to open a little door, and there's going to be another indictment of somebody.
Oh my goodness!
And
can you give me a day of rest? At some point?
Well, I'm kind of thinking that I think we get another one. I think we're going to get another one tomorrow, and if we don't get another one tomorrow, certainly early next week. And you do wonder when Donald Jr. is going to get nailed for saying that there was no communication about this, because he also similarly testified in front of Congress. And that's an interesting problem. I don't have the specifics of how he worded it, so there may be a way that he gets around that. But if there was question about Russian involvement and what kind of contacts they were having with the Russians at that point, if they were denying having any kind of contact with the Russians about a Trump Moscow, then that would... Wouldn't that be a similar problem that you see Michael Cohen in?
Yeah, for sure. And I will just say, if we had this conversation yesterday and we were talking about this, I would have said, well, I'm not sure that Mueller would view lying to Congress as part of the scope of what he's investigating. And what we learned today is, yes, he does. And acting Attorney General Matt Whitaker agrees, because reportedly, at least according to CNN, he was informed of this decision beforehand. So, you know, he could have done something or tried to stop this or overruled it, and he did not do so.
You know, it's interesting because you point to an issue here about the sort of the insular nature of this and what the Trump legal team might know and what it doesn't. The Trump legal team is working together with the Manafort legal team.
We discovered that recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that they have a joint defense agreement, which I didn't understand. I didn't realize how that can work.
Well, you know, yeah. So, look, I'm now on the other side of the defense side, and I enter into joint defense agreements. I have a number of them in my cases. And on the other side, when I was a federal prosecutor, they were routinely entered into. And all it means is this. If, generally speaking, when two people who aren't an attorney and their client talk to each other, it's not covered by attorney-client privilege for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. But there's an exception to that called the common interest doctrine, where if there's two people who are parties or involved in the same legal proceeding, if they have a joint interest or common, they're kind of aligned the same way.
Their lawyers can talk to each other, and it doesn't breach their privilege.
Thank you. There you go. He's figured it out.
Okay. He's got it.
Rose, pretty. Right. You should go to law school.
He's a quick study.
Yeah, don't worry.
So
you're like, what are you, my mother?
I feel like you've had law school.
Okay. So this is really the question. So if Manafort, this is the grand conspiracy that you're reading this in the New York Times today. The grand kind of play of Mueller was that they had faked to Manafort where they were going. Manafort gave the Manafort defense team went to the Trump defense team and said they were looking one way, and then they come up underneath with this Michael Cohen thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no question that...
To get him to answer questions, I should just finish it, to get him to when the president had to write his answers out for the questions.
To feel comfortable with those questions.
Right, that he felt comfortable with the whole Trump Tower thing, thinking that that everybody was on the same page on the Trump Tower Moscow story.
Well, I don't know whether there's any head fake by Mueller. I will just say that there's no... I would just say this. What their lawyers did was unethical. It was very bizarre. It opens themselves up to their own legal and ethical liability, the lawyers themselves. And those conversations that they had are not privileged. And so, in terms of what they were trying to do, it seems to me like they were trying to undermine Bob Mueller's investigation. If it could be proven, which would be hard because I'm sure these were not written down conversations, then it would be potentially obstruction of justice. But in any event, it doesn't seem like it's slowing down Bob Mueller very much.
What does Bob Mueller's team get out of Michael Cohen pleading guilty to lying to Congress when he's already cooperating fully, says he'll tell him anything, he'll do whatever he wants, basically? What does he get out of this?
Well, first of all, it may be that... a couple things. First of all, that's a good question. No one's asked me that all day, by the way. I think it's a great question. First of all, before he cooperates and takes the witness stand, they have to make known his criminal activity to the jury, for instance, and show that he's taken account for that and he's getting punished for that. And lying, something that involves lying in particular, is the sort of thing you'd have to reveal to the jury. So that might be one reason. Another reason might be that You know, he wanted a cooperation deal if he was going to keep doing this. And they said, well, okay, you know, you have this liability out here. Let's wrap this up in a deal. This deal, he's not going to look for it much time in this deal. It doesn't really add to anything. It's going to be wrapped up as part of his current case that he's already pled to. And now they promised in there that if he continues to cooperate, they'll let the judge know about what he's doing. It's not a big a benefit, but it can be, you know, it's
well,
better
two
than
departures, as they call them in the federal courts, right? Mm-hmm. Two departures under the sentencing guidelines here can mean a number of years by the time they're done, right? In terms of what he could be. And so when the judge does the sentencing, they look at the aggravating and mitigating circumstances, right?
They do, and they also take into account all sorts of factors about the person, I'll call soft factors. And one of them might be having a prosecutor standing up there and saying, wow, this guy really turned over a new leaf, and he's super truthful and is doing the right thing, which is what would have happened for Paul Manafort if he had stuck on the same course. But, of course, he did not do so.
What do you think ends up happening in the Manafort deal?
Manafort ends up getting a very, very stiff sentence, and he gets a pardon in the end.
Okay, I think that's what everybody thinks. and then we go from just a political crisis in America to an actual civil crisis in America. Because then, what do you do if he starts? Republicans are good. The Republican Party is going to decide what it wants to do with that.
Right, and they may probably nothing would just. I mean, it's not a legal opinion; it's just my common sense opinion. But then there's a Democratic Attorney General in Virginia, so that person might suddenly become a household name, and may decide to
prosecute.
Because
he puts Manafort in state prison,
correct? Which he cannot be pardoned for by Trump, but only by the Democratic governor of the state of Virginia.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. All right.
Oh,
there you go. All right. Well, thank you, Renato. Appreciate
Renato.
It.
Anytime.
Yes. May we live in interesting times. Unfortunately, we do. Kim, what else is happening that's interesting?
Oh, well, some Illinois politicians not so surprised about the raids on Alderman Ed Burke's office today.